on the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes,
and so it goes,
and so it goes,
and so it goes.
But where it's going, no one knows.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin on this beautiful spring day. Jane in for Kristen. Calvin's on the board. Carol Kane and Greg Bach with me in studio. And you can always join us at 844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party.
And if you ever have a question for our next guest, you can always text that in as well or email us at asgoeswisconsin.civicmedia.us. It's Thursday. It's 11:06. It's time for our public cervix announcement with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Good morning, Dr. K. How are you?
Hooray! Good morning. And it does feel like spring outside, doesn't it?
It really does. It's beautiful. If you have a chance to get outside for lunch or open up your windows or go for a drive, it's glorious. Right. And tomorrow is going to be
even better.
Yeah. Dr. Lyerly, we're going to start off. We do want to talk about the superpowers of breast milk because this came up yesterday when Kristen was here. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But I did want to start with the decision that came down this week from a Dane County Circuit Court ruling that the 1849 law does not ban abortion in Wisconsin. And as a provider, you must be very relieved.
I'm not just a provider. I was on the case. The actual ruling reads here, I'll read it to you. The order is, for the reasons stated, the court grants Dr. Kristen Lyerly's motion for summary judgment. So yes, as a doctor, I'm over the moon. As a person who's on this case, this just means so much to me. I actually couldn't sleep after the judgment came out because it has taken so much emotional energy. You know, I get to sit in rooms with people as they're telling me their stories and helping me understand their individual circumstances. And even though I've been a doctor for over 10 years, I am surprised sometimes at the things that people tell me. I don't expect it because everyone is so different. And that's why we can't legislate things like this. We can't legislate our individual healthcare decisions. So yes, this ruling means so much to me as a plaintiff, as a woman, as an OBGYN, as a Wisconsinite. This is a really big deal.
I think you make a good point, though, Dr. Lyerly. There seems to be this assumption by some that every pregnancy is exactly the same for every woman.
Yeah.
Right? It's just this is a natural part of life, and you get pregnant, and it happens, and everything is good, and la, la, la. And that's not reality.
I remember being in training, and I would walk into a new OB visit, like, you know, congratulations, this is amazing. And I quickly learned not to do that, because some people are not joyful, or some people feel really sick, so they're not happy. So, you know, I'll walk in now and be like, how are you? And then they can tell me how they feel, and we can figure out where the problems are and the landmines are and how to explore this. But, you know, the general sentiment that pregnancy is always joyful and amazing, it is not. It is hard. It is hard on your body. It is hard on your mind, on your soul, on your life, on your relationship. Pregnancy is challenging, and we've got to support each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah, both my pregnancies were problematic in the fact that for some reason, the placenta pulled away from the uterus on my left side, and that caused so many issues in the testing, and that's what landed me in the hospital for 7 weeks before Alex was born. So I totally agree with you in the fact that it is not a walk in the park. Now, are some women, it's simple. It's very nice. It's nothing. But for others, you know, that's why I didn't go for number three, because I was just like, I feel like I'm thumbing my nose at the gods. I'm lucky I've got these two. So you're absolutely right. It is a very, it's a job is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is a job.
Yeah, so. And it doesn't come without risks. You know, when you hear politicians talking about the risks of abortion and they make it sound so like terrible, actually it's very simple and very low risk. You know what's risky? Pregnancy. Carrying a pregnancy to term is almost 20 times riskier than an abortion during the first trimester. Things happen, and we are an older and less healthy population as time goes on. So we've got more problems with blood pressure issues and diabetes and lots of other things that, you know, frankly, we didn't see even 20 years ago because our population is changing. So I would just caution people just to, you know, approach pregnancy with a thoughtful eye and set your assumptions aside.
Definitely.
When it comes to abortion, though, here's my situation, because I know people that have done this and they use it if it's a necessary thing or if it's unwanted pregnancy, rape, incest, that kind of thing. I totally understand it. But I don't like it. And I have seen it in a couple of people that I know. They use it more as a form of birth control. You know what I mean? In the fact that they don't use birth control and they get pregnant and they use the abortion as the solution. And I'm not really quite in that camp.
I think that is a common talking point from the conservatives. But in my experience as an abortion provider, that is really uncommon.
Okay.
Because think about it. I mean, think about the burden that your body has to endure. Like, it's so much easier if you have access to birth control. It's so much easier just to take the birth control, you know, just to get the device, just to do the thing to prevent, than it is to go through all of the physical parts of an abortion, the cost. It's not cheap. The time away from work, the extra childcare that you need, you know, it is really uncommon in my experience that someone uses abortion as birth control, especially when you start to look at why they're there. What are the socioeconomic conditions?
Sure.
What's happening in their relationship? I've met plenty of women who are coerced to get pregnant. I mean, I had a woman one time say, "My husband wants to keep me pregnant because that's how he controls me."
That's
so
terrifying.
You don't know.
Wow.
It is. And these people are not telling their stories on the radio because they're horrible stories. They're personal stories. They don't tell anybody, but they tell me because I'm in the room with them. Mm-hmm. And they need an ear. So I would, you know, I mean, maybe you've heard that, Carol, but I have definitely, that is a very uncommon situation
okay.
in my experience.
No, I'm glad that that's your experience,
well,
to tell you the truth.
And I think also, let's not forget that there are still a number of steps that women have to go through in Wisconsin in order to access abortion care. There's still a 24-hour waiting period, right?
Oh, yeah, even for like a medication abortion. You know, during this whole, when abortion wasn't legal, and hey, abortion is now legal in Wisconsin. I can't say it enough. But when abortion wasn't legal in Wisconsin, a lot of people were ordering pills online, which you still can do. And without any medical supervision, they would order their pills, they would get them, they would take them, and they would do it all by themselves without any help. Well, in Wisconsin, in order to do the same thing, to have a medication abortion, you have to go to usually Madison or Milwaukee. You have to have a visit with a physician. You have to be read all of this misinformation. Really, it's bad. It's not medically accurate information, but the state mandated it. You have to then wait at least 24 hours. Then you have to go back to the same clinic to meet with the same exact physician who you talked to the first time so that I can hand you a pill that you then take in the clinic. And
I got to be honest with you. I didn't realize all these steps. I mean, I really did not realize all these steps. So, I mean, that's why you're here, is to help educate us. And I think that's great. You know, you can't just walk in and go, "Hey, this is what I want to do." Not at all.
Well, and the same thing with gender-affirming care. 9-year-olds are not walking into doctor's offices and saying, "I want top surgery. Let's do it today."
Right.
That's
no
and
way.
I think that is the inference by some in order to horrify people, even though that is not something that's actually happening.
A lot of gender-affirming care involves counseling
yes.
and education and support. And that is really what, when someone enters that arena where they are seeking that, that's what they get. They don't, like you said, they don't just walk in and they get their top surgery like it's, you know, like they're getting it from a vending machine. It is a whole process of figuring out who are you, what do you need, what is your support structure like? All of that stuff goes into it. And again, this is an individualized decision, taking into account someone's medical conditions, someone's psychological conditions, someone's mental health, and all of those things in order to determine what's the next right thing for you as a person.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is here for our public service announcement every Thursday at 11:06. Kristen Breyer was with us yesterday, Dr. Kristen, and she was talking about breast milk and how sometimes Frankie Lou only wants, she is not going to take the bottle. She wants her breast milk. And then we had Tom from Grafton call and asked about whether or not breastfed babies are more immune, if they have better immune systems and develop fewer allergies, because he and his sister were breastfed. He has two other siblings that weren't, and they both have, one has a peanut allergy, one has dealt with many other allergies. So is breast milk a super food?
It is. And anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is
in the breast.
Breaking breast.
Well done.
No, Tom is right. We have plenty of data and evidence that shows that babies who are breastfed have stronger immune systems. And a lot of that is because we know that the antibodies that we have as, you know, mature adults get passed on to the babies through breast milk. And we also know that not just breast milk, but if you are pregnant and you get your RSV vaccine, you get your Tdap vaccine, you are passing those antibodies to your baby and protecting your baby from viruses that we otherwise don't have a lot of. We've got some treatment for RSV right now, but we don't have enough to go around. But pertussis is a terrible, whooping cough is a terrible disease. If your child is, your young child has ever had whooping cough, they can absolutely die, but they're miserable. So if you can get a vaccine in pregnancy to pass that immunity on to them, perfect.
Well, and you know what? To tell you the truth, don't feel guilty if you're not a huge, you know, producer. Because, you know, some women just are not really good at it.
And just can't, their body just doesn't do it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. There's no shame in that. It's just the reality of the situation. Stick around. We're going to be talking about Ozempic. And I've been wanting to talk about this for a while. Speaking of things that are magical, I have questions. Okay. Stay close. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So happy to have you along. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Calvin's on the board. Carol King, Greg Bach with me in studio and joining us on the stream for our weekly public service announcement, Dr. Kristen Lierley. You can always check in if you want to call or text, or if you have a question for the doctor, 844-967-2789. Dr. Lierley, we were just talking about these superpowers of breast milk and all the advantages if women are able to do that. So what are the benefits for both mom and baby?
Yeah, and I also want to invite callers and texters because we love interaction. So feel free to share your experiences. But I'll just list off some of the cool things that breastfeeding does for babies, including breast milk is the ideal food for your baby. Not only does it have the antibodies that we were talking about before, it's easier for babies to digest. It has the right amount of fat and sugar and water and protein and minerals that babies need for their growth and development. It also means that it also conveys a lower risk for sudden infant death syndrome, which is SIDS. So breastfed babies are less likely to die of SIDS. And we know that also breast milk can help reduce the risk of many of the short and long-term health problems that can affect preterm babies. So breast milk is particularly important for preterm babies. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned Kristen's frozen breast milk, because we have breast milk banks for babies that end up in the neonatal intensive care unit and their moms can't be there to hold them and breastfeed them all the time. So we turn to those banks to make sure that these babies get breast milk instead of formula.
Wow. And again, though, we were talking just off the air, it's got to be really difficult for women who want to breastfeed and things just don't work. The baby won't latch. She can't produce enough.
Right,
It's got to be immensely frustrating. And I bet there's all kinds of judgy people out there on Facebook and stuff. Well, what do you mean you're not breastfeeding? Don't you love your child? Well,
in addition to the milk itself, doctor, I found it so connecting as a mom with my baby, to go off into a little quiet area and nurse my child. There was just, it forged that love. It was so important for me. Just psychologically, it was so important.
Yeah, we've got data to support that too. It helps to increase that bond. It helps us bleed less, because the actual action of breast milk releases oxytocin that makes the uterus clamp down, so that reduces the risk of postpartum bleeding. And it also helps us lose weight in the postpartum period, because you need an extra 500 calories a day in order to produce all that breast milk.
Wow.
So people who breastfeed tend to lose weight quicker.
While we are speaking on the subject of losing weight, Ozempic has just exploded now in the last couple of years. And I saw a picture of Oprah from recently, and she said, oh no, I did this naturally. She looks like she's a size 4.
But she has the money to be able to do it naturally.
That's true. But let's talk about Ozempic, and specifically for women who are going through menopause.
Yeah, well, it's been shown to combat menopausal weight gain. As women are going through menopause, we tend to notice, I don't know about you ladies, but our belly fat tends to increase. And that is a really troubling thing. No amount of exercise, no amount of dietary changes. It's just part of the whole process of the hormonal changes. And it's really hard, I think, for us to look at our bodies and go, no, I have another thing.
I have an inner tube around my waist. Lovely.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, really, there aren't a lot of solutions. But Ozempic is one thing that is now being seriously considered for menopausal weight gain and that distribution of fat around your belly.
It's very expensive, though, isn't it?
It is expensive. And it was only recently truly FDA approved to treat weight gain, to treat obesity. So insurance companies tend to be reluctant to cover it, because of only recently FDA approved.
Do you think because it can be tied to menopausal weight loss, or that will maybe, you know, like if you're taking Ozempic, you're like, I want to lose some weight, but because of menopause, do you think that might push the insurance companies to be a little more lenient with their coverage? Or do you just like, they're gonna be like, no, if you don't need it, you don't need it. In their minds, you don't
so
need
much.
It.
I love that you asked that question, because we are still begging insurance companies to cover vaginal estrogen for people who are dealing with postmenopausal dryness and itching and infections. And that affects most postmenopausal people. Yeah. So if they're not covering that, which is a huge, huge deal, I would be surprised. I don't have any data to support it, but I would be surprised if insurance companies would be like chomping at the bit to cover Ozempic
over menopausal weight gain. I'm going to go to my doctor right now and get like 5 prescriptions for Viagra. Bye.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Greg Bach. Thank you. 844-967-2789. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Do you have a question for Dr. Lyerly?
Yeah, I was going to say, but they do cover, I think, Viagra. Yes. I'll tell you what, I don't get it. Anyway, the question I have is if they would put the Ozempic out for menopausal women to help with weight loss, do the benefits of this outweigh the side effects of it?
That's a great question,
Cindy.
And I think That is an individualized answer. So for some people, they really have a hard time with Ozempic. This is not a free ride. It makes you not hungry, but it makes some people really nauseated. And food is such an important part of our lives. You know, we spend our days kind of thinking about what we're going to eat and who we're going to eat with. And when you abruptly change that piece of your life, it changes a lot of things about your relationship and how you get through your day. So it's tricky. I mean, it's not as simple as I'm just going to lose weight. It's how am I going to feel and how is it going to affect my daily habits and all of those other things. Having said that, for many people, it's worth a try. If you have tried everything else, if you really feel inspired by this and you and your doctor feels it's a good option for you, it may be worth a try to see if it is a great choice for you.
Dr. Lyerly, do we know what happens when you stop taking Ozempic?
Well, just like with all of the other medications that help us lose weight, we believe that the weight comes back on. We've got limited data because we've only been using it right. for weight loss for a short period of time. So it's hard to know long term, but we've had this experience with a number of other weight loss medications. And when you stop the medication,
the weight tends to come back.
It's just mm-hmm. like if you stop the exercise and your body, I had a podcast about body image and weight loss and everything. And we did a lot of research on this, and your body fights to go back to what it was used to. And unfortunately people will interpret it as failure, but like I have
it's
to
your
imagine,
body's set point.
Yeah. Imagine if you go off of Ozempic, it's like that medicine is gone. It's like your body's like back to where we were. And then people feel like, well, here I am again, starting all over from scratch.
Dr. Kristen,
but on the upside, if you can develop some new habits,
yes.
maybe you will end up at a lower set point. So that's a positive.
Yes. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, love talking to you. She joins us every Thursday at 11:06. Thank you so very much. Have a wonderful week. Stay with us. Talking sports when we come back with Paul Noonan. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Good morning, lacrosse listening on the Eagle WLCX and on the Buzz of the North in Hayward WBZH. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Calvin's on the board. Carol Kane, Greg Bach with me in studio. And our sports guru of the day, Paul Noonan, is here. He writes for the Acme Packing Company, has a great Brewers podcast that Greg Bach speaks very highly of.
Milwaukee's Tailgate Brewers podcast.
He says it's wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, let's start off with the Packers. I don't know. Am I the only one who just does not feel confident? I still think...
because, yes, you are.
Because I am a worst case scenario person. My father was a mortician, so I started death and then I worked my way up.
Some people see death as a new beginning.
And I'm so worried, Paul, that we're all feeling positive and they can make it into the playoffs and then we're just going to get smoked somewhere down the line.
So I think they may drop a game or two on the backstretch here just because they are a young team and they're still going to be subject to sort of highs and lows that veterans with more experience aren't. But I think coming into the season, we didn't really expect them to be Super Bowl contenders in the first place. And if they get around to the playoffs, like, first of all, they're looking great to make the playoffs. They are above 50% to make the playoffs. If the playoffs started today, they'd be in the playoffs. And their schedule is the easiest remaining schedule of any NFL team. They're looking great to make the playoffs, which is a huge accomplishment for a team that's the youngest team in the NFL. If they get run in the first round, I think that's fine. This is a good experience building year. And anything on top of getting into the playoffs is absolutely gravy. Right. By the way, right now they play the Lions if they're in. And that's not even a bad matchup for them. Like, they can do some damage if they end up getting the Lions in the first round of the playoffs. So I think they're looking great. This was a great win against Kansas City, a fantastic win. We hadn't seen this offense up against a good defense yet. This is basically entire season. They've had a pretty easy schedule. Kansas City has the second best pass defense in football. They have shut down far better teams, well, you know, more well-regarded teams than the Packers. No team has put 27 points on them until the Packers. That was a good statement win for the offense that they're actually for real and not just beating up on a bunch of nobodies. So I'm actually more confident than I've been all season. They look great in this game.
And actually, Tay-Tay's magic did not work for the Chiefs on Sunday night, because up until that point, if Taylor Swift was at a Chiefs game, they won.
So yeah, yeah.
The spell may be broken.
Maybe Simone Biles has some magic.
Maybe she does. Although it didn't work to get Jonathan Owens not called for a penalty that he didn't.
I stand corrected.
Travis Kelce actually looked a little bit slow in this game, and I do wonder if he has a nagging injury that was undisclosed. He had a good game, don't get me wrong. He had like 20 yards a catch, but he was dragging off of his routes, and most of his catches were just he wasn't covered, because we're still not good at that. I think that the Taylor magic wasn't there for him today. He looked like he was into it. Body language was bad.
Do you think in a situation like this, because you've got the Super Bowl champs coming into Lambeau with a young team, that there is an underestimation of what the Packers are capable of doing?
Probably a little bit, yes. I think it's easy to look ahead on games like that, and especially for a game for the Chiefs. It's out of their conference. It doesn't have as big an impact on them, and it is a road game. They probably are much more concerned about winning their conference games down the road. So there's definitely some of that. The other thing is, as much as I rail on the Packer defense struggling a lot of the times, it's designed specifically to stop the Chiefs. It doesn't work against other people as well, but it actually works pretty well against them. The Joe Barry defense has actually shut the Chiefs down more than kind of any other team over the last few years. You'll recall Jordan Love started against them before when I think it was the Rodgers vaccine suspension, if memory serves.
Oh, wow.
They actually shut down Patrick Mahomes in that game too. It's like what they're supposed to do. It doesn't work against power teams and power backs, but they play well against Kansas City. It's a good matchup for them usually.
Paul Noonan is our guest. He's a writer for the Acme Packing Company, also has a Brewers podcast. So is Jordan Love the real deal? Or can we settle on Jordan and fully embrace him as our own?
I think so. I'm not sure if he's ever going to be like the best quarterback in the league. But he's shown enough that I think he was certainly going to be the starter next year, and deservedly so. And there's enough talent there that they can work with him. And whatever little kind of deficiencies he still has aren't showing up as much anymore. I think the big one, I think that they've actually coached around really well, especially over the last 2 weeks, is just understanding that some of his deep balls, you're going to have to fight for a little bit. Just as an example of that, before the Detroit game, Christian Watson had 10 contested catch opportunities and had caught one of them. And then in the Detroit game, he caught 5. And last week, he caught like 3 or 4. I think they just practiced like, okay, this is a Love thing. And you're all 6'4". Like, go just get the ball. Romeo Doubs has also been notably better at that as well. And I think that's just smart. Like, Love can get it out there. It's just not everybody's going to be good at everything. So he makes every correct decision. That is the biggest thing Love does. His reads are like perfect. He throws an inaccurate ball every once in a while, but when you're making the right call basically every time, you can get away with that. So as long as he remains a cool customer and doesn't panic when the pocket's collapsing around him, which he doesn't, I think they got something here. He's good.
And Kashawn Nixon really was a standout too in that game.
He was brilliant and is probably the major reason they won that game. For those who didn't see after the game, Keyshawn Nixon discussed his interception, which was one of the best interceptions I think I've ever seen. He actually read a tell that Patrick Mahomes had on an audible he called, where he caught him tapping his knee, which was the signal for that sort of quick fade to Sky Moore. And so he knew that pass was coming, which is why it looked like he knew the pass was coming. He was right, and he ran that route much better than Moore. That is good film work and good recognition from a really smart player. And honestly, that interception allowed them to push that lead from 5-8. 5-point lead against Mahomes and the Chiefs is very dangerous. An 8-point lead, you have a lot more leeway to, you know, take chances and make mistakes. It was the biggest play of the game. It will end up on a lot of Packer plays of the year and deservedly show, you know, deservedly so.
Let's move on to the Brewers. And I know, Greg, you had a question for Paul about this contract deal.
Yeah. So, you know, the Brewers have signed Jackson Chourio to an 8-year deal, I believe.
It's 8 years with a 2-team option on the end of it. So I would say it's more accurately a 10-year deal, which is important for its math working out.
So in discussing this development with the Brewers, with my friends, I've got one side who's like stressing their brains out because they're like, he's never played a single game in the major leagues, and we're giving him all this money, we're giving him all this time. And then the other side's like, this is going to be amazing. We're going to develop one of the best players in the league. I want you to please, for me, explain to me this deal, because it's a very interesting deal that I, as a not too old baseball fan, has never seen before, especially in the Brewers, at least.
Yep, and it really hasn't happened before. It is an unprecedented deal for a player as young as Jackson Chourio, who has just had a cup of coffee above AA so far. So, first of all, he is likely the best prospect they've ever had in the history of the franchise. He is as well regarded as Robin Yount was in the early late 70s, early 80s. He is about the same age as when Yount was called up. And all of his comps are essentially to the best players in baseball when you run them. Now, that doesn't mean this is a no-risk deal. Guys flame out all the time when they're the best prospects in baseball. That is not unprecedented at all. So there's definitely risk here on the Brewers side. However, the upside is very, very high. And more than anything, Chourio has excelled every time he's been moved up. And he has very quickly dealt with whatever problems he has had upon going up a level. His contact rate is his biggest current issue, but he's had that before. And as soon as he's gotten used to pitching, it's been fine. Now, as for the deal itself, it is, I think, a good deal all around. It gets Jackson Chourio paid. I always like the players getting paid. They do the work. They should get the money, and he's set for life. And he's a young Dominican kid, and good for him. But from the Brewers' perspective, what they've done here is essentially buy out 4 years of free agency from Chourio with this deal. Major League Baseball teams control their guys for 6 years upon playing them in the majors, with some arbitration years that the Brewers also don't like. They're not a good arbitration team. They get into fights.
No, they really hosed. Was it what?
Corbin Burns.
Corbin. It was Corbin. Yeah, over like nothing.
Like $100,000.
Yeah,
for a guy. Yeah. But what they basically have here is they're going to be paying Chourio the salary of an average Major League Baseball player per year from here on out. He's getting $84 million for the first 8 years of the deal, and then there's team options on the back end that will escalate that quite a bit if he's a star. But if he's not a star, they can cut bait after that, and honestly, it's not that bad a contract. So there's risk here, but it's not like the Braun or Yelich extensions when those happened, where they were paying, you know, star level guys who then fell off for steroids and injuries and other things. This is, I think, eyes wide open that if he does flame out, it's not crippling to the organization at all. It's a very, I think, low risk deal. It's not good to be sending, you know, $8 to $10 million out the door every year, but it's also not crippling to a baseball team. It's not that much money for a baseball team.
Sports guru Paul Noonan is our guest. We're talking about the Brewers and the Brewers signing that big deal with this very young player. This is kind of off to the side a little bit, Paul, but I genuinely worry about these really young guys.
Oh, I was just going to say that.
I do. I really worry about them psychologically and all the pressure that they're under and the microscopes that they're under. So does Major League Baseball provide guidance to these kids? Because otherwise I volunteer as extra mom.
It's really up to the team, and they offer guidance, but this is really, really about team and personnel management. And one thing that the Brewers do have going for them that a lot of teams don't is they do have a very strong Venezuelan-specific organization. They actually scout Venezuela more than just about any Major League Baseball team. And they have a good structure throughout the org of people who speak the language, people who understand the culture, which Venezuelan culture, very complicated for a lot of reasons. And it is up to them to make sure that he stays out of trouble, that he, basically that he has some kind of road and resources to mature. And he is, by all accounts, a very mature kid. But 19-year-olds getting $80 million, I mean...
That's pretty heady stuff.
I'm not casting aspersions on anybody. If I, when I was 19, if you gave me $80 million, I would have not been. I would have. That would not have been a good idea for me.
We would all be. I would be dead by now if I had been given $80 million at 19 years
exactly.
old.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the thing. I mean, when I was 19, I wasn't making diddly squat, but I was wild. I was wild.
Just imagine if you had all that financial, all that money.
I can't. I mean, I really can't. He's got to have a huge support system when it comes to his family and friends and things like that.
Yeah.
That's where you have to step in.
Yep, you do. And I think the organization is well set up there. I saw that Milwaukee seems to be actually a pretty good spot for that to happen. Not everybody's Giannis, but I do think the local teams do have a good understanding of how the city works, how the athletes, you know, feed into it, and they're good on support structure. So yeah. I also think when you give deals like this, you scout makeup. We talk about five tool players in baseball. The fifth one is makeup. It's maturity. It's are you a professional and do you handle yourself well? You don't get deals like this if you've got big red flags on your personality. that they don't hand that out to guys who they think are going to just take the money and run
and blow it.
Yeah,
Paul. Real quickly in the time we have left, the Bucks.
I'm you ready to win a cup?
I'm so confused.
The in-season tournament, I actually kind of like. It's very, very silly, but it's been fun and kind of it's hard. It's a hard sell on American audiences, I think, especially like European soccer has lots of stuff like this. And I've liked the World Baseball Classic's kind of fun in the same way. It's weird to have it in season, but it is kind of fun to have something to root for and, you know, get a trophy at the end. And the Bucks seem to be taking well to it, and it may even lend itself to some sort of, I doubt they care that much, but some postseason training a little bit too, because it's a little bit more on the line than a normal regular season game. Not a ton, but a little bit. A
little bit.
So It's a good time, and they've been good lately. We should give the Bucks some credit. Their offense in particular has, when they're all on the court, turned into something pretty special.
I hope that they win. They do a night for a bobblehead. It's just the cup and just bobbles.
That would be great.
That would be wonderful.
The bobble cup.
Yep.
Paul Noonan, thank you so very much for joining us. We will talk to you in a couple weeks. Take care of yourself. When we come back, Ohio woman causes scene at Chipotle. She effed around. Now she's going to find out. Mm-hmm. You're listening to As Does Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Best just win, baby, win.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining us. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry, Carol Kane, Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and you can always join us at 844-967-2789 or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter.
I just saw that movie.
Nine to Five?
Yeah.
For the first time?
No. No. I mean, I've seen it many, many times, but you forget
how good it is.
Great those three women are.
And Dabney Coleman was priceless.
Oh, my gosh. Because I'm a lying, egotistical, hypocritical bigot. Bingo.
Oh, that's great.
I never forget that movie because I watch it like twice a year.
Well, I tried to interview him backstage of the Emmys.
Dabney Coleman?
Yeah. Didn't work out so well.
Not nice?
No.
He seems like an old Hollywood guy. I was like, get out of my way, kid.
That's
you bother
exactly
me.
The way it was. That's really? Exactly what it was.
You're a nobody.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyhow, never mind. That's my aside.
The other thing I want to say about that song from 9 to 5, which Dolly Parton wrote, the typing, she got that idea from her nails, from her fake nails.
Oh.
I think those are actually, I think she's playing her fingernails at the beginning of
that
song.
She's amazing.
There's nothing the woman can't do.
I know. Well, maybe reach the top shelf. She's tiny.
She is tiny.
She's tiny.
Yeah, she's a little thing. All right, moving on. I saw this morning, and it just kind of jumped out at me a little bit.
You told me a little bit about this, and once again, it goes back to the beginning of the show.
Yes.
What's happening to us?
Bad behavior.
Yes.
Adults behaving badly.
I'm getting out of the way of the
finger pointing.
The grandma's over here like, the kids don't understand how to behave nowadays. They don't know how to give change, and they're mean.
I'm not a grandma.
I'm just, you know what I'm saying.
Let me know what you think after I explain this situation. 39-year-old.
Oh.
39-year-old.
So an adult.
Rosemary Hain of Ohio was in a Chipotle last
Ooh.
Month.
Hungry.
And she's ordered one of these burrito bowls.
Got it.
Mm.
She didn't like the way the server did the first one. So the server remade
the burrito bowl.
A culinary masterpiece.
Okay.
I'm sure.
Okay. Well,
Chipotle's amazing. Sponsor us. Give me free food.
She doesn't like the second burrito bowl. Goes out to her car.
Oh, no.
Comes back, picks up the burrito bowl, and she's screaming at the 17-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, she is screaming at her. And she picks up the burrito bowl, and she throws it in the kid's face.
So she goes to her car and decides, you know what? No,
I'm
justice must be served.
Yeah, I'm not done here. I need to go really take my stand.
Now, that's great behavior.
She's 39 years old.
I know. Come on.
And the server is 17.
I call those people, I've said it before, they're schadenfreuders. They are not happy unless they're making somebody else's life completely miserable. And it's like, it's Chipotle.
It's
a fast food restaurant. It's not like you're paying $50 for a Mexican meal.
Oh, I want food.
You know, come on.
So in the judge, she apologized. She was charged with a misdemeanor and she did apologize.
Oh, I'm sure it was so sincere.
Yeah, so sincere. So Judge Timothy Gilligan gave her a choice. 90 days in jail or a combination of 30 days in jail and 2 months of working at a fast food restaurant.
That's the one
I would have made her
get.
Work at that Chipotle.
That's the one she should take.
I would have made her work at that Chipotle under that 17-year-old kid.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's your new manager. That's Trevor. He's your new manager.
People are unbelievable and unreasonable. And the minute, to tell you the truth, the minute that walks out, you've given up your right for anything, as far as I'm concerned. You've accepted it. You've walked it out. You're in your car. Sit down, shut up, and eat the damn food.
Again, as Carol said, and I'm not slamming Chipotle in any way, shape, or form. No. But
Chipotle is a wonderful restaurant making quality Mexican food.
Sponsor
us and give me free food.
It's fast food.
Ultimately, it is fast food, and I don't know how many different ways you can make a burrito bowl.
Well, ask that lady. She had two ways in mind, but
the judge told her, this is not the Real Housewives. This behavior is not acceptable. She, again, expressed her regret, but criticize the quality of the food, describing it as disgusting.
Then walk away.
Then go someplace else.
Why did you go there?
Yeah, I mean, or at very least, you know, you can say in a calm tone, may I speak to your manager, please? I have a problem with my food. There's 1,000 different ways you could have gone over it, but no, you had to do it in a way you had to fart around and find out, and you found yourself getting employed at a Chipotle or whatever fast food, which is going to screw up your taxes this year because you're going to file another W-2.
Assuming she's working.
You're just not learning. Oh, yeah, would you take the 90 days in jail?
Well, yeah, she's not going to get paid. She's not going to get paid.
But I don't know if she can. I don't know.
I don't know that you can do that.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
As an order of the court?
I'm not sure, and this story does not include that.
Yeah. I will say one of the greatest things that ever happened to me in the world of customer services, and I learned this at a very young age with a great manager who said, you are to provide great customer service, but you are also to be respected. The moment they stop respecting you, yelling at you, swearing at you, belittling you, you hang up that phone. And if they call again, you send them to me, and I will not hesitate to defend you. And he never backed down. Anytime someone got in their case, anytime someone got lippy with us, anytime they got overboard and did the same thing.
Something like this.
That's a sign of a good manager.
Hang up, like, how dare you hold for manager? And he'd be like, don't you ever speak to one of my employees that way again.
That's wonderful. We'd,
and people would be like, I spent thousands of dollars. You can take your thousands of dollars somewhere else.
And additionally, I think, can we all just have discussions with our loved ones on
regarding
how we behave and how we have progressively, it seems to me, in the last 8 years, we have become more childlike.
Yeah.
And more fifth grader like, and throw tantrums over the most ridiculous things. It's a burrito bowl, honey.
I'm the first one to tell you the truth that will try to give the benefit of the doubt and the fact of, I don't know what's happened to you today. You know,
you had a crappy day.
Yeah, you had a crappy day. I'm really sorry about that. But you don't throw your food at the poor guy who's trying to make it for you.
You don't yell at them. You don't throw it at them. You don't do anything other than trying to just get the best service you can in the most polite way you can.
Let's be a little nicer, folks, shall we? All right, stay close. The news is coming up next, followed by the very nice Todd Alba.
The Todd Father.
The Todd Father, the Todd Alba Show from noon to 2 o'clock right here. Stick with us on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day.